tonight on the Big Footy Blues podcast, we discuss the NAB Cup loss to Adelaide. We predict our best 22 team for 2014. Happy Dude takes a bathroom break.
He still sort of attacked that ball really quite hard, and he put in a good showing.
And the plot thickens as both the Wookiee and Meb go missing. All that and more coming right up. And welcome to episode 3 of the 2014 Big Footy Blues podcast. I'm your host, the Old Dark Navies, courageously filling in for Wookiee, who was absent for the second week running. With me this week, on time and raring to go, it's the delightful Bluebell. Hi, Bluebell.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Fresh from a gig at the Sit Down Comedy Club after his efforts last week, it's Happy Dude.
Yes, I'm here again.
And after receiving a Rising Star nomination for a scintillating debut last week, welcome back, Shandog.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Another week and another game done, guys. But before we launch into that, let's just have a little bit of speculation about what's happening with Wookiee. he's missing again. Last week, we know that running away from a team of dogs and police and whatnot all over the countryside, and apparently he's escaped, but he's still not here. So I hear something about a wedding. Does anybody know any more?
Well, all I know is that maybe he's not here as well, so a bit unsure about that. Maybe he just missed the last train out of Endor, you know. I'm really unsure.
I don't think their public transport system was too good there.
Well, it can't be any worse than Adelaide.
Surely you're not suggesting that that Wookiee and Mebby, it's not their wedding. I mean.
No, we'd all be invited.
Taking a look at the two, surely he's father of the bride.
I wonder if he's shaved for this wedding, because it would have been pretty hard doing the whole full body wax together.
No doubt, we're about 2 minutes into the podcast, and if Wookiee's wedding started at the same time, he's already three putts cut, and he's insulted several bridesmaids. All right. Guys, we did have a game on Monday night. It wasn't one of those games, it wasn't one for the ages, that's for sure. Carlton, 9 goals, 761, went down to the Adelaide Crows, 1 super goal, 13 goals, 12 behinds, 99. We did leave for three quarters. That's something to be taken out of it. But what are our thoughts on the game? Happy to.
Oh, I knew you were going to start with me. I'd wait the next morning, so I didn't watch it. I was just going to jump on the back of someone else's comment.
Oh, look, folks, Doc has returned to the podcast, and you were missing it. Well, listen, you don't get a Rising Star nomination lightly. We're going to throw this over to Shandog and get his thoughts on the game.
Awesome. It was a bit disappointing overall, really, at the skill level and from both teams, really, from us and Adelaide. It was a very scrappy game. There's not too much that you could really sort of be pleased about. I guess overall, Daisy Thomas playing for us was fantastic. I mean, that's an obvious one, though. And he looked pretty good, too, which was nice to see. I'm quite impressed that he managed to get through the entire game with an amputated leg or having cancer or whatever it is that he had that kept him out of the last game. But, look, it was really good to see him, and Menz did pretty well again. Dylan Buckley was pretty impressive, really. He still sort of attacked that ball really quite hard, and he put in a good showing. Sorry, really be ready to go to the toilet for a while.
I think we just got to go.
Sorry. When you got to go.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah, that was me. I thought my microphone was on mute.
I know it wasn't really particularly insightful what I was saying, but jeez, man.
Took a toilet break while during your speech.
I thought I poured myself another drink, forgot my microphone wasn't on mute. I thought I hit mute, but I must have missed the button.
That's what you think of his review.
Oh, well, we'll
keep talking.
That's
sorry, there's a bit of an echo.
That's staying in. All right.
Oh, you know what Happy Dude thought of my opinion.
I was basically going to say the same thing as Shandong.
How good
was Daisy's mark?
didn't he get a big cheer from the Carlton faithful out there? It's reminiscent of Judd's first practice match for us.
Yeah.
Oh, we like taking in the established stars.
It's like he's been with us forever.
Yeah. And there's a lot of word around about how he's sort of giving advice to the young players on the sidelines and, you know, sort of just being a bit of a leader out there. And, I mean, as unpalatable as it might seem to people this early in the piece, I could see a potential for him to be in the leadership group fairly quickly.
Yeah, and I know Mick said on I think he was talking to 5AA, and I listened back to that interview that he had with him, and he was talking about how good he thought that Daisy was for our team, not just for the skill level that he brings to us, but the extroverted sort of leadership. He's a bit of a character. He brings other people along with him, getting excited about, you know, life in general, I guess. But he's sort of a bit of an out there sort of character. And we've sort of heard along the years, recent years, how much our group seems to be a bit introverted as well. So I think if Mick's right about that, and you'd think he would be because he knows you pretty well, that that's a really good contribution that he makes to the team outside of what he actually does in the park too.
Yeah, absolutely. Did anybody, I guess, rise in your estimation compared to last week, or did anybody go downhill?
I thought Fripps probably had a good game compared to last week.
Yeah, definitely agree.
And I actually thought Cam Wood was good again as well, so just stuff around the ground and whatnot, but I never thought I'd say that because I was so dead against drafting him, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's what you... I mean, I saw the comment made on the boards by somebody that, you know, that's what you want to see from your ruckman, that work rate around the ground, actually getting back to help out in defence, or, you know, just providing... running to the right position to provide that link. And it just makes you realise that that our existing ruckmen haven't really been doing that as much as they should. You know, Cruz is more get in there, you know, see ball, get in there and fight for it sort of thing. But it's the smart running when you don't have the ball as well to get to those positions. And he's probably, he looks the best at it, surprisingly, out of our three ruckmen.
Yeah, I agree.
Too, which I thought he'd come over to the club with a fitness question mark, but he seems to be running out games pretty well, so...
Seems everyone is a big fan of Wood, so that's good to see.
not everybody, but there you go. Davey Allard kicked three goals.
Yeah, look, he's such a good goal kicker. I would back him in 9 times out of 10. He hardly misses, and ever since he's been drafted, he's been a pretty good goal kicker.
He's back with a vengeance, old Davey Allard.
He's such a conundrum for team selection. It's like, do you put him in or not? Why? It's really hard. So he does provide something, but is that something enough? I just have no idea.
You would think he's more of a depth player, but he's certainly, he played well on the weekend, and he just gets to the right spots as well. But, yeah, you would think that if our midfield is running at full tilt, then he'd probably miss out. Same as Wood as well. Like, you'd have Warnock and Cruiser in over him. But at least you're seeing, you know, them try, and they know that they've got to play their best to get a game. So that's good.
Even then, Allard could be the sort of player that benefits from sticking to a game plan that is a lot more tight-knit, where you get given a role. And as long as you can perform that role, you don't have to be the best player on the ground. But if you can do your role to your full capacity, you can make your way into the 22, and that could see room made for David Allard.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, he does a lot of unrewarded running, and we see him pop up in the forward line quite often unopposed. So he's got a pretty good tank. I could see a role for him. I don't see a role in the starting lineup purely because there's too many good players there now that we don't want to leave out. But I could see him being a sub, being fairly effective. You don't have to go for the pacey types, because what you know with this with the cap on substitute on all the interchanges, I think somebody of his sort of fitness and smartness would still be running over the top of the ground when the others are tired anyway, if he comes on maybe for, you know, sort of a quarter and a half. And he's got a knack for getting those vital goals. So, it'd be interesting. But I see, you know, he's come from nowhere. He's come from basically being off the list to being probably, you know, right on the fringes, you know, player 23, 24, 25, somewhere around there. So it's all good for our depth.
What did you guys think of the actual the game, though? I mean, was it a concern that we lost or that we
put... Ah, it's pre-season.
It was shocking. The game was shocking as a spectacle. Did you see some of the disposal efficiencies? You know, we could tell just looking at the game that we weren't hitting targets, you know, two-thirds of the time, but some of those disposal efficiencies for our players were ridiculously low. You know, people look at, Gibbs got 21 disposals in, you know, just over half a game. Well, he was 47%. He was spraying it all over the place and they weren't contested possessions either. He was running uncontested and just picking out some pretty ordinary targets. So,
the big news there though, Sam Rowe, second week in a row, 100% disposal efficiency. Remembering
three handballs.
Three handballs. Yeah.
Good on him.
I actually liked a little bit what I saw. I noticed him more because of last week when people said he did a fairly good job, and I wasn't quite so sure. This week I watched him a bit more. He got less of the ball, but I actually felt like he looked like more of a defender. So
it's not necessarily a defender's job to get a lot of the ball, though. It's more to stop the forwards getting the ball.
Well,
so as long as he can be effective in that aspect and sort of knock it down to our advantage, that doesn't necessarily count towards his disposal count.
Well, and what happened was is he took one of the key posts, allowing Jemmo to actually be more of a third defender, and Jemmo racked up more of the ball than he usually does. Jemmo was fairly well cruising through the game. He was under no real pressure, and it was a good way to ease Jemmo back into it. And I think I said in last week's podcast that, you know, Rowe can fill that spot potentially and leave Jemmo to be the one coming across to help him and Watson out. So it panned out that way a little bit, but that last quarter, the guys had nothing left. But I read somewhere that we only had 17 on the grounds at different times during the last quarter, and people weren't getting interchanged. And Mick had basically told them to put the cue in the rack at three-quarter time, and was, you know, quite happy with the fact that we were leading for the three quarters. But, we were leading, but I don't know if we were leading in general play around the ground, even though, so, yeah.
I just thought we got smashed in the middle, and I thought that they stopped our run really well. Like, if I find that that's probably our weakness. If you stop our run, then you pretty much stop us from scoring. So I was surprised we were still in it, actually, at three-quarter time, because we were down, I think, by a couple of goals, and then they kicked a couple of quick ones. But I think we certainly missed a run from Tui and Walker off half-back, definitely. And did Gibbs really get 21 possessions? Because I swear to God, I wouldn't have even noticed that. On Monday night.
Well, that's no player.
Well, you can't miss that hairstyle. So
I honestly thought that Mick was playing tactics and put him away so that Adelaide wouldn't want him. Like, I didn't even actually notice him at all. So that's.
Then he got four kicks, I think.
Yeah.
The rest of him was all. Oh no, he got more than that.
No, Shandog looking at the fact that Gibbs is number four.
Yeah, my bad.
I thought Simo was quiet as well, but I mean, first game back. But look, you don't. It's a bloody practice game. You don't take anything out of it.
Yeah, don't read too much into it.
Yeah.
No.
But I think ultimately the new guys who have come into the team, they perform pretty well again. So really, I think that's
the best. That's pretty much all you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Buckley showed a bit again, but he does too much with the ball, and then by the time, you know, if he doesn't take that first decent option, yeah. he tends to run himself into trouble, and then he's actually dishing off hospital passes or turning it over to the opposition or getting caught with it and giving away free. Yeah. So he's got to be a little bit more decisive. But still, you know, the run and his willingness to take take the game on is really good to see. All our Bash brothers that we discussed last week, who were probably the highlight of week one of the NAB Cup for us, they got a little bit of the ball, but oh my god, Bell 47%, Keisha 43%, I think Robbo was a bit higher at 58. They butchered it, and Bell particularly. One of his great assets is the fact that he can bullet through packs and keep the ball in front of him. But if he's not actually taking possession a lot, he's getting in front of him. It's getting out into open spaces, but going to an opposition player because he's actually not getting a handle on the ball the first time. So he needs to develop better hands, or he's actually winning the clearance for the opposition. Chris Yaron went off early too. Sometime in that third quarter, and somebody said that he might have been limping, but I haven't heard anything about injury. Has he got one?
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, sure, but he did a great job on Dangerfield. I think it was almost close to three-quarter time. Dangerfield had only had about six touches, and I think Yaron spent most of the time on him. So that's actually pretty good. That's a positive sign, considering that one of his biggest knocks in the last year or so has been his lack of ability to play sort of a one-on-one defence on someone.
I've actually noticed that he's tightened up a lot, which is good because he needed to. So
he needs might be the type that needs a challenge, needs a specific role, something out of the ordinary, just to show people that he can be disciplined. And maybe I won't go as far as saying it was Parko getting David Rhys-Jones to man up on Dermot Brereton and then the seven grand final, but that's the sort of role I'm talking about, where you challenge somebody to do something they wouldn't otherwise be expected to do. And he seemed to rise to the occasion, so good stuff. News around the club?
I'll tell you what's news around in Adelaide, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind a bullet to the head with the amount that I've been hearing about it, is Adelaide talking up their chances of getting Bryce Gibbs as a restricted free agent at the end of the season? I mean, it's February, for God's sake.
That's like not even on the news over here.
I've been inundated with it.
Didn't Sando say in his press conference that they're keen to get him?
I think
I heard that, yeah.
But he'd be, like, obviously in a state of two football clubs with a big free agent name like Bryce Gibbs coming out. He'd be, like, bad, you know, image, not to say that they're going to chase him, to just give up.
Well, Murph said that he's building a house in North Carlton, so he highly doubts he's going to go anywhere, so that's good news.
White's back from injury.
Yeah, that's good to see as well.
Yeah, he does all right. He's not too bad. He's back playing practice matches with the Northern Blues, back from his serious back and neck injury that he sustained last year.
Yep, kicked three goals in that game against Frankston. And there's a couple of players, Carlton senior list of players that seemed to do fairly well. Nick Graham, Kane Lucas did all right.
Holman. Got a lot of beating Frankston.
Nick Holman had a really good game. That's great to see. And Blaine Johnson seemed to do a little bit. And, of course, everybody knows who Blaine Johnson is.
I was going to say, Shandog, do you know who he is?
No, I have no idea who we're talking about. Are we still talking Carlton?
We're still talking Carlton.
Nah. What are our odds for the premiership this year? Does anyone know?
When they first released them, they didn't even list us.
That is a little insulting.
That is insulting.
I think they actually just forgot us on the list, but yeah, we weren't even listed in the Herald Sun. I can check for you now, actually, what the odds are.
Might be worth, I mean, not that we're going to win, but it might be worth putting $10 to make $5,000.
Well, one thing I saw that might be worth it is you can bet on a handicap to get the most premiership points for a season, and I reckon the Bulldogs would be a good bet for that. Mm-hmm. All they have to do is win, I think, 11 games, and then with their handicap, it counts as them winning all 23 games.
What, really?
Yeah, so that'd be, like, that's a good bet, I reckon. Hmm.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Bet Podcast.
It's so funny because that's the app I've got open to check the odds right now.
Sponsor.
I'll hit them up for some sponsor money. Then maybe we can get a new host.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Waterhouse.
Yeah, because I was going to say Eddie and it's not good enough. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the hairy one might not want to come back.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's actually on the run again. Police are after him again. He's taken off with a couple of stick mixers and a few toasters from the wedding table. So
someone exclaimed, "Watch out! It's the fuzz!" And everyone was confused as to who they were talking about.
I've got a theory here about Wookiee people. Now, Wookiee did the Mainboard podcast last Wednesday. He was unavailable for our podcast last Thursday. He was unavailable for the Mainboard podcast last night. He's unavailable tonight. I'm thinking sometime after the Mainboard podcast on Wednesday night, Wookiee's voice digitizer has run out and he's too scared to come on because he now sounds like Pee Wee Herman.
For those of you that are interested, Carlton is paying $23 at the moment to win the premiership behind West Coast, Essendon, Richmond, North Melbourne. Just ahead of Adelaide at $31 and Port Adelaide at $41.
Well, the main board would have those two ahead of us as well.
They do. We are very underrated.
Yeah. Well, the teams That's behind right. us are Adelaide, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, Bulldogs, Brisbane, St Kilda, Greater West Sydney and Melbourne are the only teams behind us.
Oh, that is insulting.
It really is.
Ouch.
That's okay.
Don't they know we have 15 number one draft picks?
All right. Carlton's next game is on the 7th of March. It's a practice match against the Bulldogs. Does that game hold any interest for anybody? Is anybody going?
I'll go and have a look.
Yeah, it's at...
I'll tell you how interesting it is.
It's at... Busy Park.
Oh, wow.
Look, I expect, you know, Bulldogs are to be up and about early in the season and probably play a stronger side than us again and, you know... potentially Bulldogs will win and people...
I don't want to put up with people on our board. Jesus, they go into meltdown.
Gloom and doom. Yes, there's one in particular. One in particular who went into meltdown. We won't name them. We're not happy to doing that, but everyone knows
who... Me mate.
Yeah, your mate, yeah. Yes. They're all your mates on the board there.
We're one big happy family.
Indeed we are.
Does anyone know how Judd's going with his injury?
Juddy, well, in the commentary during the game on the weekend, he said that he'd be looking around about round three still. So, you know, if the club are actually playing it down, then so is he.
Didn't a poster on the boards that's quite in the know mention that Judd had ankle soreness before Christmas and the club wanted to get him checked out, but he just wanted to wait to see if it would come good on its own.
Yeah.
I thought that was the tendonitis. Could be wrong.
Yeah, a certain poster that is generally pretty spot on with these sort of things.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know which way is the best way to go. Sometimes surgery can set you back further, and so, you know, we do take the odds to it. We were having a little bit of a look at our best 22 for the year, so allowing for Juddy to get back and whatnot. At this stage, we think we'll be in our best 22, and I know Happy Dude and I have both, Shandog and I have both put together a best 22.
My best 22 beat up your best 22.
Still have a lot of the same players.
Yeah, there wasn't too many differences between the sides.
There were a few key ones though, I think.
Yeah, and then what was interesting are the ones that were barely making the side or actually out of the side, because we just realizing how many how much depth we had now.
Yeah.
Shandog, you had some interesting outs.
Controversial, you might call them. Yeah, look, I couldn't fit carrots into my best 22. I know there might be some people who agree with me, but maybe not too many, I'm not sure. But I think Kerno has actually surpassed Carrots in that role of a tagging midfielder who can win the ball. We know that Kerno's done really well in the last season, tagging people like Ablett and Cochin. Yeah, he also has that massive tank that is going to be suited towards having that restricted interchange numbers of 120 as well. And Carrots, he was fantastic in early and late 2011 or 12, sorry. But we can't guarantee his form or his fitness at the moment. And so when I was trying to fit this team put this team together, which was an amazingly hard task, I couldn't believe it. Like, the depth that we have at the moment with people that we brought in, such as Doherty and Everett and such, has made it really difficult. And it's a fantastic problem. But I couldn't fit Carrots in it, and I had Menzel as the sub as well.
Yeah. You also couldn't fit Robinson into your team.
No, I couldn't. As much as I love Robbo and the idea of Robbo and Bell just destroying people, I think the game is slightly changing away from Robinson's strengths. I mean, we still see him jumping and diving towards the ball at the moment, diving on it, taking out legs. We saw last year he was giving away a few free kicks from doing that, and I think it's really frustrating that that rule is come into place, which really penalises people like Robinson who are desperate after the ball. But I think the key thing with our team structure at the moment, with the people we've brought in this year, is the fact that we've got so much versatility. And I sort of touched on that on the last podcast, I think, where that's, I think, clearly what Mick Malthouse is going for. People like Everett and Doherty, we've got Henderson who can play both ends of the ground, we've got Walker who can play both ends of the ground, and the list goes on. I think they're going to be the people who take us forward.
Do you think, just with Carrots, do you think he can play a defensive forward type role? Because he's quite a good goal kicker, and he's got he can kick from 50 out as well. I mean, and not only that, but the leadership of him as well. Like, is he vice-captain with Simo this year? I think they're both. Are they both vice-captain this year?
I'm not 100% sure about that one. I think he doesn't start in the team because of what Shandog brought up with Kerno having quite a good year last year. But as he also mentioned, was Carrots before he got his injury last year. He was quite good, had good form, and he was getting forward and kicking goals when we needed him to, and he was really damaging the opposition as well as taking out someone. And I felt he was slightly more damaging than what Kerno has been. They're both pretty close on par. Kerno would be a really good replacement for Carrots when Carrots does start to have his form drop off a bit. At this stage, I've had Kerno in before him just because he's had so long to be injured, and then to get back into AFL level form, it might take him a few weeks, so we'll have him in the twos to start off with. But I think Carrazzo will be back in for Kerno's spot unless Carrazzo forces out McLean.
I actually think he's probably playing them both, honestly, Kerno and Carrazzo, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but then you have to throw out someone else. And I wouldn't have Carrazzo in the forward line, because then you're like, that's where we tended to be resting people like Judd and Murphy through the forward line last year as well. And then that'll obviously, if we put him in the forward line, that'll come as a consequence of someone like Menzel not getting games in place of Betts.
Where I differed from Shandog was I've opted to leave Casbolt out, push Henderson up to the forward line, and with Jemison and Watson in the key defensive posts, and having McGuinness as the third defender. I don't think on talent alone McGuinness is best 22. However, in that role, it's a choice between McGuinness and Bootsma, so McGuinness clearly wins there. And yep. I look at Casbolt and down that spine, I look at Casbolt and Waite, and I just think of the numerous games where they've failed to fire together. And Henderson down there, looking down the spine, Jamison, Watson, Gibbs,
Henderson, Waite, and Warnock in the ruck, that sort of just looks like a really solid spine.
It does, I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah, I've got Allard as a sub. Whether that's going to happen or not, but as I said before, I think he'd be perfect in that role. I had Menzel starting at half forward. I don't see the point in him coming on as a sub. He doesn't get enough of the ball yet, but I think that X factor and his strength and his professionalism is something we can use all game long, because give him enough opportunity, he's going to kick a couple of goals and probably make the difference. I do have Robinson in the side, but to fit him and McLean in, I've had to take Bell out, and I haven't found the spot for Carrazzo either. So I'd like to see Carrazzo in. Maybe he'll get the Allard spot in my team, but geez, we've got some. And I didn't. I think Shandong, you had Doherty on your bench, and I couldn't get him in purely because I haven't had a look at him yet.
Yeah, and I took that into account, but just sort of thinking back, as I said to you, we would have brought him into the team to come in and play straight up. It's been really unfortunate that he's had these injuries and hasn't been able to take part in the preseason games. But if he plays a similar role to what he did in Brisbane, which is, from what I picked up, was he was a defensive player, but used to come forward and he'd pinch a couple of goals, or a goal maybe a game, just floating forward a little bit. He adds to that group of Walker and Tui and Simpson, who can do that sort of role, which makes us a great counter-attacking sort of team. And so based on the fact that I think that he was recruited into our team to go in and play, I've put him in mine as well. But yeah, look, it's such a headache to try and put together a best 22, and knowing that it changes from game to game depending on who you're playing as well, or taking that into account, it's a great problem that we've got at the moment.
Just quickly, did you both have Armfield in your side?
Couldn't fit him. No. I mean, yeah. I couldn't even fit him in my emergencies. And I do rate him. Armfield at his best and at his quickest. The amount of pressure he applies, he would be that defensive half forward you were talking about. You wanted Carrazzo to play, but he's better at it in that he is going to run forward with his pace and lose his man, and maybe get that last hand pass, or dish off that last hand pass for a goal assist. And we saw him doing it a few times with Garlett or Betts sort of running outside him last year. So
He kind of dried off though in the second, didn't he? Like he had a great start to the year and then kind of went missing a bit. So I think he's definitely one that will be pushed out just because of our recruit, like who we've recruited and whatnot.
I did have him in my team to begin with, and then when I tried to refine it, I ended up putting him as an emergency. I went, because I really appreciate, like, I love the speed that Armfield brings us, and I think that's a fantastic asset that we have. I think the running players that we have is a big positive for Carlton, such as Walker and Armfield and Yaron. That's something that we can exploit to be really a little bit different to, I think, most teams, to have some real speedy characters on our team. But in the end, when I was trying to get players like Everett into it and make sure we've got that versatility, I think I bumped Armfield to the emergency list, so, which I feel bad for the guy because I like him. He's a fantastic moustache.
Yeah. He doesn't stand out as much. Sorry.
That's all right. I was just going to say, did you have Everett in your side, ODN?
I've got Everett on a wing. I couldn't fit him anywhere else because I wanted Menzel at half forward. But I think that's a pretty decent spot for him. We've been talking for years about putting Jared Waite on a wing because of his height and athleticism. I think Everett's height doesn't matter. He's got plenty of toe. I think he's probably going to be able to win his fair share of aerial contests out there on the wing. And he's not going to, he's not going to get outrun. He's not great standing under a high ball. His one-on-one skills aren't fantastic, in my view. He doesn't seem to have the body strength that his height would suggest he should have. Without the ball, I don't think he's a natural sort of defender. He knows which angles to run and how to cut off his man. I saw an instance on the weekend where he was balked by his man a little bit, where he ran to the defensive side where the opponent was going. The opponent jigged back towards the Crows' defensive line and Everett followed, and then he just stepped him again and went forward in the clear and was able to deliver the ball without any pressure from Everett, because he got lost in the contest. So he's not a natural defender, and he's not a natural as far as contested marking or being under a high ball with an opponent, but his speed and his ability to get across maybe with a bit of a bit of timing to affect the contest and spoil is pretty good.
What about Walker and Simo? Where do you guys think that they'll play this year? Still down back?
Look, it so much depends on who's in the team. If Doherty's in the team, then Walker's going to go forward.
Well, that's what I thought too. Yeah.
I think Walker and Everett might swap places a lot.
Yeah. Do you think Simo will get a run through the midfield a lot more? I hear a lot of the commentators say that our midfield isn't, we don't have as much depth as a lot of other midfields. Do you think Simo could add to that? Obviously, I think he can, but...
Maybe he might be part of the midfield rotations as players get rested in different positions around the ground. Or he might push up from the half-back flank into the midfield, so he's not starting on the ball, but his main field that he runs through might be in the midfield. I know how much Thylacine hates this expression, but he will be rotating through the midfield.
I just
I like him as a defensive player more than anything.
Yeah, he's doing really well down the back, so...
I reckon he'll go back to back in the John Nichols medal this year. I've backed him, Simo.
I've thought about it over the week, and I'm with you on that one.
I think I had Gibbs down last week.
I'm not so sure now.
I reckon Simo would take it.
I realise the glaring omission from my side, and I would rectify that and put him straight in. I don't know at whose expense, but. I don't have Scotland on my side, and that is an oversight.
Well, I didn't put him in either because he's a rookie. He has to earn his spot.
He was elevated though because of Dygan's injury, wasn't he?
We had two nominated rookies.
Yeah. But he's definitely in contention to play senior footy.
Yeah, no, we elevated Scotland and Keisha because they were nominated rookies for the whole season. We can elevate one more for Dygan, and I suggest that we'll probably keep our powder dry and use that for Cameron Wood if we need it.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we can't say it's been the most exciting week for football news. The season is, it's going to heat up, as we know, over the next couple of weeks. But until then, look, whatever we can find to crap on about, we will do it. We're the people for it. If anybody else wants to put their hand up and join in, then feel free to drop us a line, and we'll certainly give you a chance. It'll take a lot of beating to beat out Shandog, who's the front runner for the new spot on the podcast this year. But we're always happy to hear. We're always happy to hear fresh voices, and no doubt next week once Mebby gets back. And God knows whether Wookie's coming back to us next week or not. I don't know. Do they have Skype in jail?
I think they get one call a day, and they've been complaining that he's been blowing it on the 1-300 sex chat numbers.
Oh God. Maybe we get 10 minutes of Wookie via a state penitentiary somewhere. And until somebody taps him on the shoulder, Bubba taps him on the shoulder and says, "Come with me, darling." until then, I want to say thank you to Happy Dude.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Bluebell.
Thank you, guys.
And a big thank you to Shandor.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.